I'm going to ask you to do something kind of interesting when it comes to opening up. We're just going to open up to the New Testament right now. So and nobody stare into the blinking lights. Did it go away? Oh, good. That's our song that we did there. This is this thing here. This is this thing. All right. I did the announcements. That's good. So, like Alexa was sharing, actually, and she's right, we didn't have a conversation about this. I don't often recognize in this setting the anniversary of my father's passing, but it's on Sunday this year, and I had a chance to go to Elam a few weeks ago and be with some old friends. And while I was there, they had asked me to lead worship for one of their gatherings. And I was telling Alexa, I was like, I don't think anybody's ever asked me to come and to lead worship before. And so it was for a small gathering. It was just their leadership group. And my dad served on that board for about 15 years. He was the treasurer. And we were invited, as some of us who were observing the meetings and that kind of thing, to sit in on the elders' meetings. And so while I was there, I was just sitting in, and I don't really care for board meetings. Our own board knows that. We don't get together as often as we should because I don't need another meeting. I've got lots of those things, and so we try. But I'm sitting there, and what is that? That's not this week even. Let's forget that. We'll see how well we do without pictures today. So what we're doing is we were sitting in that meeting, and I'm watching this man present the treasurer's report. And instantly, those of you who know me, I tend to be a little wishy-washy, very emotional guy. And so during the financial report, I'm getting all misty-eyed. I'm sitting at the table. I'm like, oh, what is happening to me? This is the financial report. But I was realizing that that was the part of the meeting that my dad would lead normally. And for all intents and purposes, as far as we know, he would still be sitting on the board today had he not passed away. He had no reason to resign. And so there he was in that financial setting, and the guy was giving the report. And so later on, I was talking to some of the leaders, and I said, this is kind of odd, I'm sure, but was that exactly what my dad would have done? And he said, yeah. And I said, man, I just got so emotional during that part. And I began to share with a few of the men that had been there when my dad was on the board just something that had kind of overcome me with the connection that we have with Elam Fellowship. Elam Fellowship is the covering of this church. We are an Elam affiliate church. Elam Fellowship, Chris Ball, the president of Chris Ball, has been here a number of times. We have had half a dozen speakers from Elam come. Peter De Arruda is doing our retreat next weekend. He's the vice president of operations, something like that, at NYSEM. And he's connected heavily with Elam. He's an elder that serves at Elam. And I was sitting there and I was sharing with them just some things. And I said, you know, at this moment right now, I just miss my dad so much right now. And I had a chance to talk. And I can't believe I'm holding it together right now. I'm doing pretty good. I had a chance to talk with Pastor Mike Cavanaugh, who was, if my dad were to have a best friend, my dad wasn't really that kind of guy. He wasn't a BFF kind of guy. But if he had a best friend, Mike Cavanaugh was my dad's best friend. And Mike was there. Pastor Mike was there. And I was telling him, I said, when you came to my church, I was using those kind of terms so that he would see what it meant to me. But when you walked into the facility where I minister, I felt such an honor to be able to share that moment with you, because that was as close as I'll ever get to having my dad see what's going on. And I made him cry. And we were both sitting there, and we just started to hum and haw about it. And those of you who don't know me and you're visiting here, this is just a side note. I just want you to know that the call that God put on my life to be a pastor and to be a minister of the gospel is something that I did not strive for on my own. This was something that just the doors opened and different opportunities. And as Alexa and I have looked back on our path, nothing have I done on my own. As a matter of fact, there's been many times where I've just said, God, are you sure you picked the right guy to do these kind of things? And in that moment, 2 weeks ago, I got to sit there with a guy that I was able to just share some things with him that literally was the closest I would ever get to being able to say, Dad, look at what's going on. And I shared that moment with him. And I know that a lot of that comes from being able to be released by you. You as a church family have just been phenomenal to Alexa and I over the last 21 years. I've been on staff here for 21 years. That's incredible. I don't even feel like I've been alive for 21 years. But it's been an amazing journey. And the Lord has just done so much through Grace Fellowship Church. And one of the topic for today is change is necessary. Change is necessary, but change is a process. Okay, now we don't have pictures. So can you lock onto that? Do you have something? Do you have a napkin or something you can write that on? Change is necessary, but change is a process. For me, in my journey with walking with the Lord, I can definitely chart a maturity that's been going on. And sometimes I feel like I'm still in my juvenile stages. I still feel like maybe in certain points spiritually, I'm still in that preteen or early teen phase of my walk. Sometimes the Lord will bring a situation into my life and I'll feel like, man, I really was listening to the Lord. I nailed that one, you know, and I feel like, God, you just really opened up the doors. And I felt like, man, it just came through on that one. And then other times another situation will come along and I'll be like, man, I didn't even see that. I blew that situation. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We can go up and down in our relationship with Him. Change is necessary, but change is a process. And there's a number of places in Scripture. I'm going to unplug this, and so the screens are probably going to go nuts. I don't know. Nope, they're good. But one of the things that we have to be able to look at is found in the book of Romans. And so we're going to go there first. And hopefully, as you're going there, you'll be able to see where we are with it. Let's see. There we are. Romans. Romans chapter 6 and 7. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 12. Sorry, verse 11. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 reads this way, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God." I wonder if you can say that one phrase with me. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we give our lives to Jesus, there is a transference that takes place, that I am now no longer captive by the things that hold me back in this world. I actually have a choice that I did not have before. Let me explain. The Bible clearly states that you are either under the law of sin or you are under the law of grace. So we are introduced to two universal laws that exist. One is leading us down the path of sin and death, and the other one is leading us closer on a relationship with God. The first one, there are no choices available. Sin reigns in my life, as Paul puts it. Sin has a power and authority over me, and now I must follow along this path of sin, and I am caught in this bondage. And he uses these kind of terminologies of jail to let us know that I don't know if anyone in here has spent any kind of time in jail. I haven't been there for the purpose of penalty, but I've been there visiting others and talking with them and seeing them in that situation. There's very few choices that you make when you're in jail. As a matter of fact, zero. You don't decide when you eat. You don't decide when you sleep. A lot of times, depending on what you're, you don't even get to decide when you use the restroom. You don't get to decide anything. You don't get to decide when you go outside, when you go inside. Everything is planned out for you. There is a place in our lives that Paul was making a connection with us, that we are under this bondage. And the world doesn't see it that way. They think that religion is bondage. And do you know why? Because they have us to look at. Let me try that over here. Their only example of what it means to be free in Christ is someone who is free in Christ. So if someone is under the impression that religion is just a dead-end street with all these rules and regulations and just weights you down, then they have completely missed the idea of the gospel. Do you see that? The idea of the gospel is freedom in Christ. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we need to tell ourselves that we have changed. And that change is a process. I don't know if you can believe this or not, but at one point I was a baby. I used to wear a diaper. Right? I was an infant. I was bald and had no teeth, and apparently I'm heading back that way very quickly. Right? But I grew up. I went through this process of maturity. And the Bible also, when it talks about sin and the bondage that it is, the relationship with Christ, one of the most common analogies that comes about is you are a child of Christ. You're going through the process of maturity. That means there are going to be days when you are in your, I'm 14, I'm 15, I'm doing my own thing. And you're going to throw a spiritual tantrum. And you're going to tell God, you're going to put him in his place. You're going to tell him whatever you want to say, and you're going to do whatever you want to do, and you're going to go through that. Some of you might be going through your terrible twos. We have this idea that there is a process that is happening where I want to be able to mature in Christ. So guess what I'm hoping at this point in my life, when I've been saved for so many years, is that I'm hoping that I am spending less time in my adolescent phase and more time in my God phase of being able to relate. Because here's one, this isn't necessarily 3 points, but here's one of them that's coming up right now, is that our lives are less about the religion of Christianity. And are you ready for it? It's more about the relationship of Christianity. Relationship speaks louder and has more authority than laws and regulations. Do you know how connected I am to the lawmakers of our land? Not. I'm not. I don't, you know, we don't have a relationship. Do we know and respect and see them? Yes. But I don't have, like, I'm not going out and playing racquetball with them. And Mark knows that I shouldn't ever step on the racquetball court ever again. But the idea is that the relationship side of it, now take that same understanding, and people look at their relationship with God as he is this God who is pushing on regulation, rules, that list, that checklist thing that we have to be able to go through. And now, did you go to church? Did you sign up for the men's group? Are you going to the retreat? Are you in the small group? Are you in the mom's group? Are you on Hope Chest? Did you come and rake up the leaves? Did you, right? And now we're saying, okay, I did all that there. I must be an amazing Christian. And the relationship in Romans begins to take this journey with us. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. I changed. I am dead to sin. But now what I want to do is I want to be dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. Now watch what happens in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. I don't know if you catch the teeth of the meat of that verse. I now have a choice. I don't have to allow sin to take hold of my life anymore. Before I couldn't. Before I didn't have a choice. Before I was subject and bondage to. I was a slave to sin. I could not make any other choice but to do the things that my mortal body wanted to do, and I was going to give in every single time. I wonder if anybody has a clue what I'm talking about. Right? We just, it's like, I can't believe I did it again. I can't believe I did it again. But now what happens is I have a choice. And that choice is entered into my life because what I did is I said, God, it is no longer my own strength. I have asked you to come in and give me the ability through Christ Jesus to show a changed life. I am changed. And church, if the world needs to see anything, they need to see lives that are changed. They need to see people who are willing to take a step and say, I am going to impact this community around me. I have been changed, and that change is a process. I don't have it all figured out by any means. I don't have it all figured out at all. But there are some things that I hope I don't have to worry about anymore. There are some things that I hope that I've been able to live in a disciplined way where I'm able to say, yes, I have given that over to Christ, and that even though the temptation might be there, I won't give in to that. I won't make that choice any longer. I am choosing to follow Christ. Look at what it says also in verse 13. Do not present your members to sin. I hope that the language here is so clear that we have a choice. Can you just verify that? Say that back to me. I have a choice. I will not repeat what other people say. No, I'm just kidding. oh, praise God. Do not. That was pretty funny. Give me a second. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Can you see the analogies there? I don't want to try to, you know, state the obvious too much here. But literally what's happening is as a Christian, I can actually still be a tool in the hand of the enemy. Can we say no thank you to that? I don't want that. I don't want to be used of the enemy anymore. I want to be used of Christ. Change is necessary, but change is a process. So now what I have to be able to do is I have to be able to say, all right, God, I'm going to not allow that. Do not present. My mind works in these kind of pictures. I just totally saw somebody go, ta-da! You know, here I am, sin, take over. Right? Do not present yourselves to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. This morning, you have a choice. Are you going to be a tool, an instrument, in the hand of the enemy as a believer? Do you hear me? As a believer, are you going to be an instrument in the hand of the enemy, or are you going to be an instrument in the hand of God? And that's the choice that we have. I am not wanting to submit myself any longer to the bondage of sin. I no longer want those things to happen. So now what I have to be able to do is I want to present myself to God as an instrument in His hands. Here I am, God. here I am, God. Take me, use me for the design that you have, for the purpose that you have. I want to present myself. Also, in verse 14, it says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Not under law, but under grace. I believe that I'm talking to some people that love the Lord this morning. I want to remind you that you are not under the law of sin. You have a choice. You know, the devil made me do it. He's a pretty busy guy. The one thing, the devil, he is not omnipresent. We were talking about that. I can't remember if that was in our small group or if we were in our men's group. There's too many groups going on. But the devil is not omnipresent. And so my grandfather said one time, if he's bothering you, then he's not bothering me. It's like, I don't know, you know. We should be a little bit more gracious than that, you know. But the idea is that we have this choice that we can actually say, the enemy is coming after me, and I have the power and the ability to say no. Do you see that? I can say no. Nobody makes me do anything anymore in the spiritual sense. It's clearly a choice that I have. And Paul is writing this out in the book of Romans. He's making it as clear as he can. He's saying, you are not under the law. He's talking to Gentiles that have given their lives to Christ. You are not under the law anymore. You are free, and you are under the law of grace. I don't know if you've felt a heaviness in your life. I don't know if you've felt sometimes, I'm just miles away from God right now. Just so many things going on in my life right now. I'm just miles away from God. Can I tell you right now, that is a lie? That's a lie. If you've asked Jesus to come into your life, you're not even a measurable distance away from Him. You're carrying Him with you right now. He's in you. He's not separated from you. He's in you. He's with you. He's for you. We sang that this morning. He's not against you. He's for you. There is nothing at all that you can do to separate yourself from the love of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Nothing separates us. Oh, but I've done, Phil, you have no idea what I've done. You're right. And I probably, there's some things I don't want to know. But what I do know is this. Nothing you have done can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Zero. Nothing can do it. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion. I want you to see the tenses that are here. Will have no. That's futuristic. That means the things that are going to come. That means the things that are on their way. Sin will not have dominion over you. We need more believers and followers in Jesus Christ to hang on to these verses. I don't know if you have a Bible that you write in. I do. I've really done some heavy duty on this one paragraph. I've underlined it. I've highlighted it. I've used different color pens. I've circled some. And then when I was done circling, I boxed. And I just said, God, I want to make sure that I'm working this into my system, because there are times, we have to be realistic, there are times when I do feel kind of out there alone. I do feel like I'm on this cliff of faith, and I'm not feeling the connection that you're telling me that I am. I'm feeling that distance. And then I just have to be drawn back in and say, wait a second, that is literally impossible. Dear Heavenly Father, come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Done! Or in Bible terms, it is finished. If we would take a moment and believe this for what it has, it would change your life. I cannot be separated. I cannot be separated. I need to open myself up and realize I cannot be separated. Sin will not have dominion over me. Sin will not reign in my household. Sin will not be in my children, my nieces, my nephews, my grandchildren. Sin will not reign. Whatever situation you find yourself in, sin will not reign in my community. Sin will not reign in the country I live in. We will serve and honor God. As long as I have breath, God will reign in this region. That was really good, guys. That was an opportunity for you to just let it go. That was it right there. That we can say, God, now is this moment. I want to close with this last verse right here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, if I can leave you with this encouragement. Change is necessary, and change is a process. If you have given your life to Christ, I believe you have entered into an ongoing work in your life. Even though perfection cannot be attained, we are to be holy as I am holy, says the Word of God. We are to strive for being like Christ. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, can you say that one phrase? Those who love God, ready? Those who love God. This is probably one of the most misquoted scriptures in Romans. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called. Have we identified yet who gets the blessing of this verse? Those who are called of God, right? Those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. All that we remember is, well, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Do you love God? Are you called for His purposes? Now you've identified who this verse is for. There is something that God wants to release in your life. Sometimes it comes through the change of pain. Sometimes it comes through the change of blessing. There is a process that takes place, and there is a weaning out that God does. There's something, He's going through the garden of my life, and He's saying, this needs to come out. This needs to come out. Oh, we're going to give that a little bit more fertilizer. We're going to really pour blessing out on that. This thing needs to come out. This needs to be cut. This needs to be pushed back. This doesn't even belong at all. We're just going to burn this whole section right here. And God takes us through that process so that we can have the evidence of walking in Him. You can tell when you walk by a garden that somebody cares for and when you walk by one that nobody cares about at all. Right? You're driving down the road and you come by some of these that are just out there right now that have all the mums and the beautiful flowers. It's like, how are they? Who has the time to do that? There's one that's on the way out on Route 8 that Alexa and I mean, they change it with all the seasons. Maybe you've seen it too. Every season, it's something different. And right now, it's in full fall garb. It's beautiful. And I'm thinking, there's somebody that's really paying attention. That's who you are in Christ. That's who you are. God is specific that the things that you're going through are going to produce good fruit. Change is necessary, but change is a process. It's going to take some time. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not there. I keep struggling. Great. Make that declaration. Make that declaration that it's a process. Make that declaration that there's a struggle. It means that you are breathing air and you are human. If you cease to make mistakes, I've got some bad news for you. You're probably not with us anymore. Which is bad news for us, good news for you, maybe, right? You're in the presence of the Lord. But the idea is that change is going to continue to work in me. Today, if you could walk away with one nugget, God is changing me and I'm in the process. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. That statement must be true in your life. And then as it's true, God is looking for people who will be a demonstration of that all around. You are literally the tangible evidence that there is a God, because you believe in Him. You have Him in your life. You are the tangible evidence that God exists. I used to do that. Here's my story. Boom. Oh, I remember struggling with that. Yep, I used to wrap my muffins in bacon. Yep, that was bad. That was bad. That was bad. Right? Right? Chocolate-covered bacon is a sin, no matter how you do it. But we used to do things that are different now in our lives. Our lives are changed and transformed. If your life has been changed and transformed by the Lord, could you please stand with me this morning? If your life has been changed and transformed by the Lord, I want you to stand. It's a reverse altar call. Look around. If there's anybody sitting, we're going to pray for them now. Oh, we're all standing. Okay. You've just declared publicly to your friends and your neighbors, I have been changed by God. I have received Him as my Lord and Savior. I am changed. Now, we need to function like it. We need to do those things that God has laid on our hearts. And if this is true, which I know it is, but I'm just saying, if this is a representation, this is all that it takes to transform Titusville for Jesus Christ. This is it. It's all in this room right here. This is all that it would take. Transform Titusville for Jesus Christ. We have teachers represented in here. We have leaders represented in here. We have the college represented in here. We have the working blue collar represented in here. We have business owners. You change your life. God wants you to affect the community that you live in. Can I get an amen? Father, we come to you right across this room right now. I just pray in Jesus' name, whatever place each person in this room holds within this community or the community that they're in. I know that there's some from Union City, Centerville, Pleasantville, all around this region. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that we would be able to be a demonstration of what it means to have a changed life in you. God, today, we don't rededicate. We repurpose our hearts to follow after you like never before, to be set ablaze by your presence and to say, God, I will follow you and serve you. Change is necessary. Change is a process. Let it be true in all of our lives today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Praise Jesus. Amen. I tell you, we have just had a great week of connecting. I had a chance to meet with some of the different ones in the home groups, and I know that that's going well. I would encourage you, please, please, please find a way. We've got so many things happening in the next 3 months. You can get plugged in and find a friend and get together with various groups that are happening throughout the week. We want to fellowship with you. And this weekend is the culmination of all of that. We're having our retreat, and it's open. Sign-ups are not closed yet. I think you can comfortably hold how many? All right, so that's everybody in this room is invited, and we want to go. So please make sure that if you're able to be a part of it, and if for some reason the financial end is the snag, don't let it be. Don't let it be. We actually have had some generosity within the church, and if the finances are an issue, you're done. You're taken care of. All right. Right. If you don't have to stay overnight. If you can only be here, if you can only make it Friday, you're more than welcome to come. If you can't make it Friday because of work or whatever what's going on, and you can come Saturday, you're more than welcome. If you can't stay overnight, that doesn't mean you're out. You can still come. Thank you, Tom. All right. Father, we seal this time. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, Brian is going to be right up here.